Well, good morning, church. Good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we continue verse by verse to go through this book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in our time together today in Marks of a Godly Family part 2 that we began last week. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful for this place, and I am blessed, Lord, to be part of this group of people who you have called and given to us, Lord, the greatest gift that anyone can ever get, Lord. Not only, Lord, peace and joy presently, but, Lord, you've promised, and we believe that we will spend the eternity with you in glory. And so, Lord, we're thankful today as we gather to worship you. And I pray now that as we continue in worship, as we open your word, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would understand with greater clarity what it means to worship you and to glorify you. And God, I'm thankful for just the opportunity, Lord, to continue to be used by you, Lord, to encourage and strengthen the faith of your people, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So work in our midst and in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul commended the church, you remember, for their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. This church was a happening church. Even though Paul was there a relatively short time, even though they were going through tremendous persecution, they were people who were really moving out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul commends them. And then in this chapters 2 and 3, Paul is vindicating because he was being attacked by critics, saying that he didn't love the believers there in Thessalonica. And the reason that he was there just a short time is that he didn't care for them. He abandoned them. And he hadn't returned because he's writing this letter from Corinth. And so this was starting to get some traction. And so Paul spent chapters 2 and 3 vindicating himself, you see, saying, listen, these guys are liars. Don't listen to everything you hear, you know, or believe, rather, everything you hear. And so Paul defends his apostleship, and he defends his ministry. In chapters 4 and 5, now we come to Paul dealing with some issues in the church and helping these relatively young believers to understand, not to be those who are deceived and putting into practice things that aren't what God has designed and desires for them. And so he is correcting and instructing them, you see, in these next several chapters here, and we began to look last time together. We looked at God's work in the people, in the church. When we gather as a church, you see, he's talking to us about what it means to worship, what a worship service should look like. And he started off, you remember last time together, with the pastor. He says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those in verse 12 who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And so he starts off, hey, listen, those of you in the congregation, those of you who are pastors, we're one family, we're one body. Don't bicker and fight and try and pull rank and don't look at the pastor and go, he's an idiot. I mean, we may be at times, okay? We all have our moments. But you know what? We're to love one another. You see, the pastor is both a pastor who's been given an opportunity and as a leader. And listen, if you want a good church, you've got to have solid leadership. You see, that's something in this country that's lacking increasingly. Our leadership, sadly, is going down the wrong road. You need good and godly leaders. And I'm happy to say that we have a team, that I have a team of godly men who we, as pastors and elders in this church, are together, and we desire to see God's glory and spiritual maturity in the body of Christ. And that we don't just talk, but we walk the talk. You see? So there's got to be godly leadership. And so Paul says, don't despise the authority. Love them. Pray for them. If you think I'm an idiot, I can be. Just know that. I have not grown beyond the stage or into any kind of stage of perfection. But you know what? Don't beat me when you see me be goofy. Pray for me. You see, we're to pray for one another. Or to encourage one another, and it says in love, and recognizing, hey, this is something that God has called me to, and as a pastor, as parishioners, don't worship the pastor, but value the pastor. And then he goes on and he talks to the people. He says, now in verse 14, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Now Paul talks about the church corporately and how we as a family are to function. We're to exhort or build up one another. We're to warn those who are straying off the path and going down the wrong road. We're to help out and uphold those that are weak and struggling maybe in their faith, going through a difficult time, maybe anxiety and kind of a bent to worry. We're to lift those up. We're to help those people, comfort them. Uphold the weak, put an arm around them and bring them along. You see, that's what we are disciples, but as disciples, guess what? We're supposed to be discipling. We're supposed to teach others the word. We're supposed to walk out what it means to be a Christian in front of others. And then he says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Warn those who are out of line. Don't repay evil with evil. Someone has said, and I like this, evil for good is demonic. Evil is human. Good for evil is divine. Isn't that good? Evil for good is demonic. Evil for evil is human. That's the way we are, just in our sin nature. Man, somebody does something evil to you, I'm going to get my pound of flesh, man. I'm getting back at that person. That's evil for evil. But when you see good for evil, Jesus hanging on the cross, being spit on and mocked and beaten and laughed at and jeered. He said, he was being treated evil. He said what? Father, forgive them. What? Divine. We're not there yet, right? But that's the goal. We're to repay, you see, not to repay evil for evil. That's what makes us like our Father in heaven, when we render good for evil. And so we are to actively care for others in the fellowship and in the family of God. So there's the leadership we looked at last time together, then the fellowship and what should be going on there. And then we see now what church life looks like when it comes to worship. What are people to see? What are people to sense in our lives as Christians? What are they to sense here when they come into the church? This is what Paul is talking about here. This is a public thing. This is something that happens when we get together, and these things we are to put into practice. What are they? Well, he goes on here and he says, first of all, we are to rejoice in the Lord always. You see, rejoicing in the Lord is something that is unique to us in the craziness that's going on presently. Be careful. You watch the news too much. You listen to people too much. You can wind up just as sad and gloomy as they are. We as Christians are to rejoice. Paul in Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you missed it, again I say what? Amen. You see, that's the heart of worship. We rejoice in the Lordship. We rejoice in Christ, you see. And that's what we do as an act of worship. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to be putting that into practice. You see, as part of our worship, everything we do as a church is to be with an attitude of worship to God. The preaching should be an act of worship. The hearing and heeding the scripture as it goes forth is an act of worship. To serve the Lord is an act of worship. To give to God is an act of worship. When we witness as an act of worship. You see, until we come to that place of worshiping our Lord together, we're missing out. You see, we're not enjoying what God desires and designed for us. You see, we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Our worship to God is to be joyful. Something that is attractive, especially in this day and age. If you're walking around and you're singing worship songs and hey, how you doing today? And you really care and there's a smile on your face. I'm not saying we don't go through tough times. But even in the tough times, we rejoice. We rejoice, as Paul says in Philippians, in the Lord. We don't just rejoice, oh, I'm so glad that I got in a car accident. Praise God, I love car accidents. That's flipped out, okay? That's crazy. We're to rejoice in the Lord. That's key. Lord, you know what? You're in control here, and I'm in this accident, and you've got a plan in it, and I'm not happy about my car messed up, but you know what? I'm happy that I know that you have a purpose for this. Sometimes it's like Job. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Nothing worse than getting a new car. I saw one the other day in the Walmart parking lot, a brand new Cadillac, you know, and there it was, crunch, the fender just smashed in and hanging down on the wheel, and I'm going, what a bummer. But we can, as Christians, rejoice in the fact that God has a plan. We may not know what it is this side of heaven, but we know that He's at work. Joy is something that should be something that marks our lives. In Ephesians chapter 5, 18, Paul commands us to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Joy is evidence that Jesus, you see, is on the throne of your heart. It's evidence of the fullness of the Spirit. So we rejoice in the Lord always. We are to pray without ceasing, verse 17. Does that mean we're to stop doing everything, get on our knees, fold our hands, and pray? No. It means in every issue of your life. In other words, you're not supposed to walk around when it says pray without ceasing, or, you know, you're not supposed to walk around just mumbling prayer, mumbling prayers, and like some monk or something. But you're to be in an attitude of prayer and connection and communion with God. When things start to come in your mind, hey, God, take care of this. Hey, God, deal with that. Hey, God, help me in this. We're just to have that connection there and that communion with God. It is to be something that's continuous. When we're tempted, for example, to worry, to be anxious, we have instruction from Paul again in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Okay, God, do I push a button? No. How do you deal with it when you're tempted, when you begin to worry? He says, be anxious for nothing. Stop it. And here's what to do instead. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's what will happen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Do what? Pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. God, take care of it. God, with supplication. God, you'll supply. You'll take care of me. You can be at peace that way. We should live in an attitude and an atmosphere of worship and prayer all day, every day, throughout the day, and in the middle of the night. If you're awakened in the middle of the night from a bad dream or some kind of a fear or anxiety, guess what you do? Pray. Your heart should be, someone said, like a compass. It automatically points towards the Lord every day when you wake up. Every moment of every day should be spent talking. You're just talking to Him. That's the great thing about God. He's always available. You don't call Him and get a busy signal. Do we get those anymore? Remember when you used to call somebody and it goes, bang, 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 because the line was busy? Now you get the answer machine. Everybody has the answer thing, right? But God doesn't, hey, He's always available. He's always there. And listen, those of you that commute down the hill, prayer is something that's essential for you. Every time I go down now, don't talk about other drivers. The temptation hits me, even if I don't say it. I'm thinking and I get the fiery dart, that idiot, you know. I didn't say anything because I don't want my wife to know what I'm really thinking in those moments. No necessity for that. But there's a lot of those kinds of people on the road. Instead of talking about the other drivers, pray to God. Lord, I don't know where he's going in such a hurry. God, protect him and others and help him to see the craziness of the way he's driving and the danger. When you're in the gas line at Costco, this practice of prayer is important. Instead of sitting there, it's one of my pet peeves I struggle, okay? I'm a sinner like the rest of you. I do struggle when you know what? You're sitting in the line. You've been there, you know, in the line for a while. You've had plenty of time, and this might help some of you. If I'm behind you, help me. Get your card, your Costco card out. Get your credit card out. You're sitting there watching. Get it out. Get it ready. Push the button to open your fuel thing. So by the time you get to the pump, I don't know, does it make sense to you? Help us, impatient people, not to sin. Okay? Just a little tip there. So easy to get in the flesh like that. They get up to the pump, and they pull out their wallet or whatever, and they start looking for the cards. They've got their purse. They go back into the car. They look, what? I'm going, God help me. I need help. And as I shared last week, I struggle with patience. So God allows me in those places. So we're to rejoice in the Lord in our worship. We're to pray continually. And then thirdly, we're to be thankful. It says here, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. People wanting to know what the will of God is? It's very simple. We should live as God's people, rejoicing and praying, which will lead, if we connect in that way and stay in that mindset, it will lead to an attitude of gratitude. We've got so much in this country, and we shouldn't feel guilty for all that we enjoy, but neither should we be those that walk around whining and complaining. Notice it doesn't say, again, for everything give thanks. Again, I can't give thanks for sin. I can't give thanks for evil. But I can give thanks in everything, because God has a plan and a purpose in it all. That attitude of gratitude, just that a continual expression of appreciation to God and to one another. I mean, how many of you, you know, got up this morning, for those of you who are married, and said to your wife, you know what, honey, I just appreciate how you, you know, I mean, you keep the laundry coming, and you just the effort you put into decorating this house and keeping it clean. And I just, for no reason, it's not Mother's Day or, you know, your anniversary.
Well, I do that on my anniversary. A couple times a year, I do that. That's the problem.
And for you ladies, just an expression of appreciation for your husband. And just, you know, I mean, it's important that we have that attitude of gratitude. When your children do what you've told them to do and do it with a good attitude, hey, honey, I appreciate, you know what, you did good. I didn't even have to ask you to take that out. I just want you to know I saw that, and I appreciate that. Attitude of gratitude in everything. Listen, yeah, you go through tough times, but even in the tough times, are there not things to be thankful for? You see, so we are to be those who are rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and of course that leads to and lends itself to an attitude of gratitude, and everything give thanks. Now, how can we do that when the difficulties, when the painful, the hurtful things come our way? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and you know it. And we know, here's what we can be thankful for. Even the difficulties, even the tragedies in life, we know. Here's something you know when you don't know. Why? You don't know what? We know that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to His purpose. Even in the tragedies and the difficulties, we can thank God that He has a plan and a purpose, that He's there for us, to care for us. And you see, if we really believe that God is in control and that He's sovereign, and we can do and follow the example of Paul and Silas, when even though they were locked up for the preaching of the gospel, even though they were locked up in a dark prison unjustly, spread eagle hands out, legs out, stocks fastened, rat-infested prison. What'd they do? At midnight, they weren't whining and complaining. They started singing. And when they started singing praise to God, it brought literally the house down. The earthquake came and they were freed. And as a result of that, you see, they were able to lead the jailer to faith in Jesus Christ. That witness, that testimony is powerful when you're singing in the dark. Because you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're giving thanks to Him. Fourth, he goes on here, he says, do not quench the Spirit. The literal rendering of that is stop quenching the Spirit. There are many ways. You say, well, how do I quench the Spirit? When you think of quench, it means to put out the fire. We as Christians ought to be those that are fired up, filled with the Spirit, rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. And not quenching, not seeking to put that fire out or allow that fire to go out. How does that happen? What can we do that quenches the Spirit? Well, we gripe, we complain, we don't pray, we don't rejoice. You see, and that quenches the work of the Spirit to glorify God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is not a force. And I don't like it any more than I like it when you call me. Yeah, it was preaching this morning. It? No, wait, I'm a person, not an it. When we need the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and people refer to the Holy Spirit many times as it. He is the third person of the Godhead. He indwells every true believer in Christ. And he is subject to personal treatment. You see, his purpose is to lead us into holiness, to lead us into godliness and thankfulness. And to that end, you see, if we're not praying and rejoicing and celebrating the Lord, then we are quenching the Spirit. If we're whining and complaining, if we're disobeying. In context, if we hear the Word of God taught and we reject it, we don't obey it, we don't pay any attention to it, then we grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God to transform the child of God into the image of the Son of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So when we gather like this on Sunday mornings, we come to church and we hear the Word of God taught. If we don't pay attention, if we don't take heed to it, if we say, that's just his opinion, I'm not going to do that, that's not for me. Sometimes we do that by hearing a Bible study and we'll go, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear. They need to hear this. Those of you that are in that mode right now, stop. What about you? You see, when we're given godly revelation, when God points at a place in our lives where we're struggling and maybe caught up in sin, maybe something that we have been unaware of previously, it behooves us to go, okay, God, help me by your Spirit, fill me. I need to deal with this area of my life. If you don't and just cast it aside and ignore it, then you quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. So we need to be those who are worshiping God by rejoicing, always praying continually, having an attitude of gratitude and yielding to the Spirit, you see. And then fifth, we need to be teachable. Do not despise prophecies. Don't despise the Word of God. How do we do that? By despising God's Word. By taking the Word of God and not paying any attention. You see, the idea of prophecy is just, it's not just foretelling the future. Many times people get caught up in that. And certainly that's an important study in the Word of God, to study prophetic passages that tell you what things are going to be like in the last days. And we will get to that in 2 Thessalonians here. But listen, it's not only foretelling, but it's forthtelling God's Word. It means speaking forth God's word. So when God's word is spoken, if you don't obey, if you don't intend to submit to it, then you are quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit, and you are despising the Spirit of God speaking directly to your heart. There are some times where you come in here, and I pray it's every time you come in here, that you when I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, or Chris or one of the other guys is teaching, you go, man, he must have been following me around. I mean, ooh. There was a guy that used to come years ago that when I'd say certain things and he'd get convicted, he'd go, ouch. Because I got that area, you see, that's prophetic. God speaking to you directly, right where you're at, in a way that deals with the issue or the excuse that you've been making for your sin, or the justification for the way you're treating your wife or your husband, or you're working at work. You need to be one who is submitting and recognizing, hey, that's a word from God directly for me, and I need to apply it. When you do that, you are filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. If you just push it away, then you're not teachable. You see, and you despise the Word of God, not maybe verbally, but by the way that you respond to the Word of God in your activity. So to rejoice in the Lord always, we're to pray without ceasing, we're to have an attitude of gratitude, we're not to quench the Holy Spirit, we need to be a teacher of all things and hold fast to what is good. That means to prove all things. We need to be wise in our worship. We need to be discerning in our worship. We need to be discerning and listening carefully when the Word is being taught. We need to prove all things. We need to be like the Bereans, who when the Scripture, whenever the Bible was taught, whatever was preached, even from the great Apostle Paul, he didn't condemn them, that he commended them, rather, that they looked and checked the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying lined up was true. You need to do the same thing. You don't believe what I'm saying just because I'm saying it. Well, the pastor said it. It must be true. Now, that's foolish. You need to make sure that what I'm saying up here in this pulpit is something that the Lord, that is in the Word, that is the Word of God. You can't trust, you see, a man just believe what I say. Don't question me. Believe what I say. Man, that's trouble. Not everyone that names the name of Christ is a Christian. You see, we are to be those who test the spirits. You know, it's interesting that Jesus likens us unto sheep, because sheep are animals known to be kind of dumb. And listen, if we're not discerning, if we're not scrutinizing, if we're not paying attention and looking at the text in the context. It's like when the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons come to your door, they'll take scriptures out of context. Oh, they're talking about Jesus. They believe in Jesus. You need to make sure that who that Jesus is, because guess what? They don't believe in the same Jesus. They believe that Jesus is just another among many prophets. They don't believe that he's Jehovah God himself. We need to listen to preachers and say, you know, ask, is that really what that text means? Is he reading that text in the context? We need to pay attention to that. Is the application that he's making of that text something that is there, again, in the context? Or is he just pulling out and just making up things and just kind of bringing them in? They sound good. They sound good. They may tickle your ears. Oh, I like that preacher. Everything he says is just feels so good. Watch out for that guy. You see, that's why we need verse by verse, you know, chapter by chapter, verse by verse study of God's Word. We need to ask the questions, what's being taught, is it from God's Word? Is it biblical? Is it true? We need to be judicious. So we're to rejoice in the Lord always. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to have an attitude of gratitude. We're to be teachable and despise not a prophecies and the word of God. We're to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. And then finally, we're to abstain from every form of evil there in verse 22. King James, from all appearances of evil. Paul is not talking about whether or not it looks evil. He's actually saying that it is evil, and evil comes in different forms. We can't pick and choose what kind of evil and say, well, it's okay, this is evil, but we can indulge in that evil. We are not to do that. We are to stay away from every form of evil. We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't compartmentalize sins and say, well, this is bad, but it's not that bad. This is better than this person or that person. Listen, is it evil? Is it sinful? Is it wrong? Is it helpful in your relationship with the Lord? Or is it hurtful and bringing you down? And if somebody saw you practicing or doing that, would it be something that stumbles, that is, you know, you would be embarrassed about because you recognize you really shouldn't be doing that? Listen, if you're convicted, if your conscience says, don't do that, it's not good for you, then you know what? Listen. Pay attention. Don't sear your conscience. We need to be faithful in our worship as believers in Jesus Christ. And so today, as we worship the Lord together, God spoke into your heart. It's my prayer that we'll be those that are joyful. We'll continue to maintain an attitude of prayer, constant communion. Just God's always there. And you know what's cool about God? He wants to hear from me. You guys may not want to hear from me at times. In fact, you're going, I hope you're wrapping up. It sounds like you are. I'm excited. But you know what? God always wants. He waits. He waits to hear from me and you. Do you know that? He just waits. And oh, he so desires to bless. You see, and God help us to be those Who, when God shows us that there's evil, that there's something that is happening in our lives, that there's a practice or something that we're doing, and we justify and rationalize, well, it's not as bad as this guy. Yeah, I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as that woman or that person. Listen, that they are not the standard. Jesus is the standard. You need to call it what it is, because you can't hide it from him. He already knows about it. Right now, if you're thinking any evil thoughts, guess what? He already knows. It's not like he's waiting. Okay, I'm going to kill them as soon as they think an evil thought. It's not like he's waiting for you to do it. He's saying, hey, come to me. I can help you with that. I can... With what shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. It's been said that sin will keep you from this book, the Bible. And this book, the Bible, the reading and heeding of God's word, will keep you from sin. May we be a people whose practice, whose personality and with everything in us is singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, rejoicing, giving thanks to God, walking in the Spirit, that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We might turn from evil and do good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you, as always, for the faithful work of your Holy Spirit among us. And God, I pray now that as we, including me, have heard these things, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to walk in an attitude of worship. As we are in our homes, as we are in the workplaces, as we are out on the road, as we are standing in lines or sitting in lines, Lord, may we be those who have that attitude of prayer and are filled with your Spirit, singing and praising and giving thanks. God, forgive us for our whining and complaining many times. God, help us to be those who have an attitude of gratitude, that we might bless you. As David wrote, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. May we be those, Lord, that are a blessing to you as we yield to you increasingly. And Lord, I pray if there's any here today who have not yet given their lives to you, Lord, they're caught up in evil. They're doing things that they know are wrong. And Lord, they feel like they're stuck. They're captive. And Lord, without you, they are. We're slaves without you to our sin. And God, we can't have victory. We can't live at peace. We can't experience harmony. We look around at our country and we wonder, they ask why the division. Yeah, it's mental illness. It's mental illness. It's a mind that is without God, that is turned from God. Lord, I pray that you would do a work. And Lord, that you would bring unity and harmony. But that only comes as a result of yielding to you and coming to you to save us. Only you, Lord, can bring that unity and harmony. You can change us and free us from sin's grips and slavery if we'll just come to you. And I pray today, Lord, that if there's any here that have not yet given their lives to you, not sure their sin is forgiven, they come to church, but they haven't come to Christ yet, Lord, I pray today that you would draw them. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anyone here you don't know Christ and you want to know him. You're not sure your sin is forgiven, that you have the hope of heaven. You're caught up in some evil things. You want to be free, but you haven't been able to. You made a step here to, well, let me see if I can do it. Well, listen, you can't do it. You can't change you, but God can. Coming to church won't necessarily change you. It's coming to Christ that changes you. And if you haven't done that yet and you'd like to do that, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you're at, and I'd like to pray for you today. And I'm sure your sin is forgiven. You don't have the hope of heaven. You're not sure you're a Christian. You've come to church, but you haven't really come to Christ. Religion won't do it for you. You need Jesus. Anyone in this last moment, you want Christ, just stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. He died on the cross for you out of love for you, that you might not remain in captivity, but that you might be set free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. You can leave here a changed person. Anyone in this last moment? Father, I thank you, Lord, that as believers now that we are those you've called and chosen to go out to this world and, Lord, to show the hope, to show the help and the saving power of Jesus Christ through our walks and through our witness for your glory. I pray, Lord, that we would be those who continue, Lord, to be examples of Jesus to the world around us, that they might see you in us. Lord, fill us afresh with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, that our talk and our walk would bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.